Welcome to an episode of Penguin Press Volumes, the podcast where our editors share the inside scoop about their new books and where you can listen to a sneak peek of the audiobook. On today's episode, we're discussing Paris, California by Rachel Stark. Listen to editor John Burnham Schwartz discuss the new book, on sale today.
Hey, it's John, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here to talk to you about the very first book I've edited for Penguin Press. Rachel Stark's remarkable, heart-walloping debut novel, Paris, California. You know, my first encounter with this gritty, unforgettable story reminded me of the first time I read Dorothy Allison's now classic coming-of-age novel, Bastard Out of Carolina. That indelible feeling of stepping directly into the heart and mind of a tough, strong, entirely original young female protagonist who must find a way to shed the accumulated scar tissue of her growing up so that she can trust, love, and hope again, or for the first time. We first meet Tessa at 17 when she's fleeing for her life from an act of violent abuse at the hands of her stepfather and stepbrother. She's taken in by a similarly strong-minded older woman, Angie, wonderful character, and her steadfast son, Henry. Until now, the only real love Tessa's ever known in her life was with Mel, another young Paris girl whose tough carapace disguises a wanting, longing heart. The second strand in the braided narrative of the novel is 10 years later, when Tessa, now 27 and married to Henry, finds herself with two small kids and pregnant with a third, living in a tiny trailer on Angie's property, with no privacy and no money, and a suffocating sense that the traumas of her childhood have left her somehow alive but dead. That is, until she discovers that Mel has recently returned to town after 10 years away. There's violence, tragedy, tenderness in this novel from start to finish, and an authenticity of spirit, place, and voice that I have not encountered in fiction in many years. It's a story about how the bonds of love, romantic and filial, queer and straight, can at once suffocate and heal us. Rachel Stark grew up in Paris herself and knows the world she writes about, its chain link, white poverty, and generations of women whose main inheritance, one to another, is the passing down of unspoken traumas, small and large, with the kind of intimacy you just can't research. In the months and years to come, I honestly believe Tessa is going to become one of those fictional heroines who only needs a first name in the public consciousness, because there's simply no one else like her. I could not be more proud to be publishing this book. Thanks a lot.
We hope you enjoyed hearing from the editor. Now here's a sneak peek of the book. Happy listening.
Mel held on to the sled, and Tessa held Mel around the waist. Here we go. Mel pushed off and lifted her legs, and they sat still. She used her heels and legs to try and scooch them forward. They moved inches with every scooch. Tessa couldn't hold it in and started laughing. We are flying, Tessa said, cracking herself up some more. It's going to take a second to get going, Mel said. Tessa could hear the irritation in her voice, but had lost the ability to contain herself. Roger that, Tessa said in hysterics. Ready for blast off. Mel kept up her ridiculous scooting, and the sled started to move slowly. Tessa was wiping at her tear-filled eyes when the disc started to go. The momentum took a little while to catch, but when it did, they went. Shocked by the wind in her face and the sudden motion, Tessa went silent and held tight around Mel's waist. Mel shouted in triumph. I told you, Tess! I told you! The brief moment of elation was followed by sobering fear. Shit! Tessa screamed. They were barreling down the hill fast and building speed. Mel tried to dig her heels into the grass, but the ground kept kicking them up. Mel gripped the disc tighter, leaned into Tessa, and dug her heels into the grass again with all she had. Her boots caught traction this time and gave some slowing resistance. A moment later, Mel's right ankle turned out and folded back at a stomach-churning angle. Mel made a sound halfway between a whimper and a wail. Tessa had no time to respond. The disc slammed into a boulder hiding in the grass, and she was airborne. She didn't know when she'd lost her grip on Mel. She was hurtling solo through the air, ass overhead. Then she landed on her back with a heavy thunk. Her rib cage bounced out of her chest on impact, and the back of her head slammed the grassy earth. The wind and sense were knocked clean out of her. With a deep breath, she rolled over onto her stomach. Was she alive? Yes. Was she hurt? She couldn't feel any major pain. There was an intense flush of adrenaline coursing through her body and throbbing in her head. And Mel? Tessa pushed up on her shaky arms and knees to a tabletop position. A wave of nausea hit, and she puked in the grass between her hands. Mel? She called out. Mel! Oh, shit. Mel groaned from somewhere nearby. Tessa wasn't able to stand, so she crawled in the direction of Mel's voice. When she made it over to her, Mel was lying on her back. Her lip was busted open pretty good, and she'd lost a boot somewhere. You okay? Think so? My ankle's wrecked for sure, though. Mel put her forearm across her face to shield her eyes from the sun. Your breath smells like barf. Tessa flopped down on her back next to Mel. Fucking A, she said. Later, after Tessa had helped Mel crawl up the hill and after Mel's mama had yelled at them for being so stupid, after the trip to the ER, where they took x-rays and wrapped up Mel's ankle, Mel and Tessa, bruised and scratched up all over, sat on the porch swing on Mel's patio drinking iced tea Mel's mama had brought them. Dumber than doornails, the both of you, she had said, shaking her head as she handed them their glasses. Mel's mama had gone back inside and left them on their own. They were quiet and exhausted. Mel's foot was propped up on a chair. Her swollen bottom lip stood out in her silhouette against the setting sun. Tessa stopped the gentle rocking her foot made against the floor. She reached for Mel's hand. When she took it, Mel turned to her. Before Tessa could think about what she was doing, she leaned in and kissed her. She tasted the salt of Mel's blood on her lips.
What'd you do that for?
Mel said after Tessa pulled away.
I'm sorry.
Tessa felt sick to her stomach, like she was going to spew again.
What had come over her?
She made to stand up, but Mel put a firm hand on her leg to stop her. Dumber than doornails, Mel said. She tucked the piece of hair that had come loose from Tessa's ponytail behind her ear and smiled. You and me both.
Thank you for listening and supporting our books. To learn more about what's coming up, follow us online. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you next time.